Okay, dear Dhamma friends, we can start the session now. First of all, we'll pay homage to the Buddha. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammā sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammā sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammā sambuddhassa. Ekāyano ayam bhikkave maggo sattānaṃ visuddhiyā. ශෝක පරිද්දවානං සමතික්කමාය දුක්ඛ දෝමනස්සානං අත්ථගමාය ඥායස්ස අධිගමාය නිබ්බානස්ස සච්චිකිරියාය යදිදං චත්තාරෝ සතිපට්ඨානාති. Dear Dhamma friends, we are actually in the sutta teaching session. So in this session actually we are trying to discuss various suttas and we are trying to select most of them relevant to our practice, so that we can get some insight, we can get some guidelines from these suttas. So Buddha actually mentioned that we need to do sutta anugahita. Time to time we need to listen to them, we need to sort of read a book. So likewise we need to get some understanding about the Buddha's teaching, so that we are confident that we are not going in a wrong direction, rather we are in the correct track. Now, as a result, we have discussed several suttas already. Sabbasava Sutta we discussed, which is dealing with various stains. And then we discussed Kayagata Sati Sutta, which is completely dealing with the body-based meditation. And now we are discussing Satipatthana Sutta, that is one of the very important and very popular sutta, especially among the meditating crowd. Now, in Satipatthana Sutta, Buddha basically elaborate on how to establish mindfulness and how to develop further once after establishing mindfulness, and then how to continue one's practice as a kind of a path. Now, if we consider Satipatthana, so the basic term means that we have to establish mindfulness. We have to, in a way, support mindfulness. Now, there are Anupassana. The term Anupassana means again and again you have to do it. It is not that just once that you are establishing mindfulness, but you have to do it again and again. Now, here, actually, there are four types of anupassana: kaya anupassana, vedana anupassana, citta anupassana, dhamma anupassana. In the kaya anupassana section, primarily we are trying to observe our body. In vedana anupassana, we are mostly paying our attention to various types of feelings. And in citta anupassana, observing the mind. And then in the dhamma anupassana, we are observing various phenomena, mostly related to the mind. Now, when it comes to the practice, Buddha say one has to maintain certain qualities while engaging in this practice. First of all, we have to be mindful, satima. So that would be one of the basic instruction, how one can establish mindfulness in the present moment. As we all know, typically our mind get distracted towards the past and the future. Now, in order to practice Satipatthana, one theme, one important aspect of practicing Satipatthana is to bring our attention to the present moment. It does not mean that we have to completely forget about the past and be ignorant about the future. We can reflect about the past and future also while being mindful, while being in the present. But we haven't lost the present. Now, Satima, the term Satima therefore emphasizes this mindfulness, that you can or you have to establish mindfulness in the present moment, so that you are not being carried away by various incidents happened in the past and not daydreaming about the future. Suppose you are able to establish mindfulness, and then Buddha say you got to clearly know the present moment. You should clearly know the present moment phenomena. Currently arising phenomena you should know. Clearly know. Sampajano. And once that is there, you need to continue this for a long time. It is not a one-day practice or one-week practice that it has to become a kind of a way of life. So it is not that you are forcefully doing it, even though it appear like little forceful or little kind of a big effort at the beginning, but slowly as you are familiar with it, so this practice become more close to you, more and more relevant to you, and you can easily continue with it without much effort. But anyway, at the beginning you need a lot of effort, because our mind is fairly polluted and conditioned with various defilements, especially by various hindrances. So that in order to overcome those hindrances, you need a fair amount of energy. Even when the path is very difficult, you need to continue it. So that requires a fair amount of endurance, perseverance, and that related energy. And again, you need to continue it for a long time. There are also kind of energy is required to continue. Otherwise, you may practice for a month or two, and then you might forget it, even you leave it aside. But in order to continue your practice as a common, ordinary activity, it also requires a fair amount of energy. On the other hand, when you are really engaged in the practice, you need to maintain kind of a balance of energy. If you exert too much energy while you are practicing, then that itself can become a hindrance to the further growth of various other qualities like concentration. So this concentration and energy has to be properly balanced. So likewise, this energy is also another energy or effort is one of another important factor that Buddha says that we need to properly maintain. That is one essential quality we need to maintain throughout the practice. And then Buddha say, Vinaya loke abhijja domanassa. So we need to maintain some sort of a equanimous mind if we are to have a unbiased observation. Now, if our attention is fairly drawn to various other beautiful things, or we are being distracted to various other blissful things, then we are not maintaining that balance. Similarly, if we are being sort of going through some sorrow, kind of a despair while doing the practice, so that is also indicate we are not maintaining the proper balance. So this proper balance, maintaining that middle mind, equanimous mind, one is one of another important aspect. Now, if one is able to maintain such background, then one can further improve one's attention, one's mindfulness, and in turn, it causes to improve clear comprehension. And that is actually a path to improved wisdom, we can say. Now we are going through one after the other of the first section. Now we are in the Kaya Anupassana section, that again and again we have to look at the body. So we can learn about the body through books and various other means, but here we have to use our own focused attention in order to observe the body. So that is the key difference in typical learning and this Satipatthana practice. The Satipatthana practice, the emphasis is given to this direct touch, this direct observation. It is not that we are asking from someone or we are learning from external source. Rather, we are keeping our attention, our own focused attention to various bodily processes so that we can learn from them, and we are sort of observing their behavior. So more and more one observes that behavior, there are certain other qualities going to develop within our mind. It is not really that this, not only that we are in a way trying to get a better perspective about the body, but also certain other very important qualities are developed in the mind. Sometimes it is very difficult to understand how such very simple practices lead into such profound understanding. But that is the way where Buddha's teaching is taking us. These simple practices have the potential to develop or to give us some more deep understanding, profound understanding about ourselves, this whole society, and the whole environment at large. Now, if we consider Anapanasati, so Buddha starts with the how one can develop mindfulness using breathing. There you are able to establish mindfulness on in-breath, then on out-breath. Again on in-breath, again on out-breath. So that is the first step. Sato vasa sati, sato passa sati. So once you are successful in that, then Buddha does not stop us there. Rather, he asks us to further penetrate this breath, further examine this breath, so that you are able to recognize various subtle aspects of the breath. Say, whether it is long, whether it is short, whether it is warm or whether it is cool, from which nostril it is going in, from which nostril it is going out. So likewise, these subtle aspects are only visible when our mind is fairly or sharply mindful. And that is something that we have to purposely do at the beginning. Otherwise, our mind simply stay on the surface. But rather, we have to pay a kind of a curious mind so that we can examine the breath very closely. Now, when it comes to iriyapata, that is what we are basically on daily basis, we are using either sitting, standing, walking, lying down. So these are the main postures, and while we are using those postures, we can be mindful. And Buddha extend this to various other sub-postures as well. And even to various sub-activities. In the Sampajanyapabba, Buddha ask us to be mindful on various daily activities as well. Say for example, while eating, one can be mindful. While walking, one can be mindful. While standing, one can be mindful. Say while wearing your clothes, you can be mindful. When you are stretching your limbs, you can be mindful. Likewise, all the daily activities, if we connect with mindfulness, then we can say, okay, from the very morning to the night, so I am trying to maintain some unbroken mindfulness. At the beginning, it may constantly get break. Doesn't matter. But we have some understanding, okay, I am having some sort of a desire to establish mindfulness as much as possible. Suppose you are driving a vehicle. So at that time, you can be mindful. You are talking with another person. You can be again mindful. You are listening to someone. Again, one can be mindful. So likewise, it is not that this mindfulness is limited only at the sitting session or walking session. Rather, you can spread this mindfulness to all the daily ordinary activities. That is how we have to practically enhance this mindfulness. How to sort of internalize this mindfulness. Now, as you are more and more aware of the body, then not only breathing, but even, say, rising and falling of the abdomen, heartbeat. So likewise, many other subtle processes become evident. Now, such another aspect is called Dhatu Manasikara. That is what we are going to discuss today. You all know that according to the Buddha's teaching, so one can categorize whole physical world into four types of elements. Earth element, Patavi Dhatu, represents the most solid aspect. And water element, Apo Dhatu, represents the liquid aspect. And then Tejo Dhatu, heat element, represents the heat aspect or temperature in a way. On the other hand, the air element, Vayo Dhatu, represents the movements, the whole air types one can represent. So these are the four ways that according to the Buddha's teaching, how this whole physical world is categorized. Now, we can say it is quite similar to the modern science, where today we have various materials recognized and different names are given. But here, in a way, kind of a simplified approach is given. It is not that we are trying to have a table and understand all these different types of atoms, materials. Rather, we are trying to understand the world in a different perspective. Typically, we are lost in various concepts, conventional ideas. As a result, we actually lost the fundamentals. We have built some sort of a conceptual world on top of certain fundamentals. Ultimately, we get lost on that conceptual world, forgetting the fundamentals. So in this practice, actually, it helps us to go back to these fundamentals so that we really know what is really available. It is not that mind-made or man-made stuff, rather what is really available. So this Dhatu Manasikara actually helps us to touch that deep or touch that depth, the very basics. Now, in order to recognize these elements, we need to know their characteristics. I can remember Most Venerable Mahathera Jnanarama Mahathero is telling in one of his books, he very beautifully mentioned that the yogi, the practitioner, should know the language of the elements. It is not that these elements are sort of talking in English or Sinhala or any other language, but rather they show their presence using their characteristics. So the earth element typically has 6 characteristics. Through that, we can recognize them. Hardness, softness, heaviness, lightness, roughness, smoothness are the 6 characteristics typically shown by earth element. So whenever you recognize hardness, there you can understand I am recognizing the presence of earth element. Whenever you understand heaviness, you can understand I am at the moment aware of earth element. Whenever you recognize grossness or roughness, there again you can understand I am recognizing earth element. Similarly, when you are aware of softness, that is also an indication of earth element. When you are recognizing lightness, that again represents earth element. When you are recognizing smoothness, that also represents earth element. So likewise, there is a heavy aspect and the light aspect of earth element. And on the other hand, if we consider water element, it has primarily 2 characteristics, the watery or the flowing aspect. You know that if you consider water, it has the nature to flow. From higher height to a lower height, it constantly flows. So this flowing behavior is one key feature, key characteristics of water element. Similarly, it has the ability to cohesive. Say, suppose there are kind of dust particles available. If you put some water, then you can sort of bind it to one lump. So therefore, this cohesion is one important aspect of water element. So because of that cohesive aspect, that all these other elements are put together and appear like one unit. If there is no water element, everything falls apart and nothing is appear like solid. So this solid nature is only possible because of this cohesive nature, cohesive characteristics of the water element. So therefore, water element has 2 primary characteristics, that is the flowing and the cohesion. And then when it comes to air element has the nature to move. Now you know that your hands can be moved, your legs can be moved, you can jump, you can walk, you can run. So all these movements are possible because of the air element. And again, air element helps us to maintain our posture. Suppose you are standing. So the various pressure being applied towards our body. So when that pressure is well balanced, so then we can maintain standing posture. So likewise, this maintenance of the posture, maintenance of this kind of shape is possible because of air element. So those are the 2 aspects of air elements. That is the movement, vibration, and this maintenance of the shape, we can say. And then the heat element also has 2 aspects. That is the heat or the hot and cold. Whenever heat element is more available, that we can say it is hot, and when it is less available, we can say it is cold. So I mean, if you can consider this, you will understand that whole world, whole physical world, actually can be categorized according to these 4 elements. irrespective of the complexity, everything can be included to this model. So this is kind of a model, we can say, where we can analyze the whole physical world, and we don't need to get lost in so many names that typically nowadays we have attributed. Now, on top of these fundamentals that we have built, so many other conceptual complicated parameters. We have given so many names, so many other models, so many other, say, colors and etc. Just on top of these four elements, four primary elements. Now, how to recognize them during the meditation? So that is also not that difficult. Say, for example, you are in walking meditation. At the beginning, you consider that I am walking. So that is how we may be all starting. So you are selecting a walking path and you are simply walking. And now you are trying to keep attention on your foot. As it lifting up, you are paying attention. As you are placing it, you are paying attention. When you are keeping it on the floor, you feel various hardness, softness, roughness, smoothness, heaviness, lightness. So you can recognize. Now slowly, actually we need to refine our attention so that we can recognize these element characteristics. At the beginning it is difficult because our mind starts to distract. Because walking is a kind of a very ordinary, simple activity, boring activity. So mind does not find it interesting. So we need to mindfully again and again pay our attention to this walking so that we can left behind the past and the future and well establish in the present moment. Then suppose you are able to walk from this end to the other end without breaking attention. Now you know you are keeping left leg, you know you are keeping right leg. So kind of unbroken attention being maintained during the whole process. As you are continuing your practice, you can leave aside all this noting. Rather, you can go to some silent observation, very careful attention being drawn to this whole process. As a result, what happens is these element characteristics slowly become evident. You may start with the more gross aspects like hardness of the floor. That is quite evident, easy to understand, and you are able to now understand hardness while walking. Without stopping there, you can recognize, you can try to recognize various other subtle element characteristics as well. Not only hardness, you may start with hardness. Now it paves the way to understand, okay, the roughness, maybe softness, maybe smoothness. When you are lifting your leg, you probably might feel the heaviness. And you can probably understand how the weight being transferred from one leg to the other leg. So that is the heaviness is being sort of changed. And sometimes you may feel lightness. And certain parts of the walking path may be hot. So you may recognize this, that feature, and certain parts may be cool, you can recognize that. Likewise, slowly, as you pay attention to this whole walking process, you can more and more recognize these element characteristics. Now, later on, even you can bring this attention to sitting session. Probably you may start with paying attention to postures. Now I am sitting, my head is straight, the neck is straight, my upper half of the body is straight, legs are bent. So likewise, you are slowly bringing your attention to the posture. Now, as you move forward, you are able to refine your mindfulness so that you can even understand, say, rising and falling. At the beginning, it's in a way a little conceptual. We have given a name as rising. We have given a name as falling. So our tummy is rising, our tummy is falling. So that is how we perceive at the beginning. But later, as we move forward, we don't need this noting. We can simply silently observe this whole process. So it gently starts, it goes to some threshold, and then it completely disappears. After a little gap, then the falling cycle starts. And then it reaches some will or good awareness, and then ultimately it also disappears. And after a little gap, the next beginning of the rising starts. Now, likewise, this happens like a cyclic nature, and you are able to recognize all these subtle aspects. Now, this single rising may probably appear like series of risings. The single falling might be able to recognize as series of fallings. Say, rising consists of 10 risings. Say, falling consists of 10 fallings. Now, you have minute 10 risings, minute 10 fallings. So, likewise, if you are able to recognize in that manner, you may understand it is they are not really sort of your tummy rising or tummy falling. Rather, they are very subtle movements. Now you can recognize the movements of this whole experience. So this whole experience has interpreted or sort of perceived with very fundamental or basic experience. It has reduced to a very basic experience, that is a series of movements. As you improve, probably now you can understand various vibrations available throughout the body. And maybe certain parts, suppose you are keeping your arms together on top of the other, probably you can feel some warmth in between. So there you are recognizing the heat element. And now the weight of the upper hand can be felt on the lower hand. There you are again recognizing the heaviness. That is one aspect of earth element. And say you are paying attention to heartbeat, heart vibration. That is the movement, and that is a aspect of the air element. Say you are paying attention to breathing. Instead of you are saying, I am inhaling, I am exhaling. Now you can pay attention to the movement of the air. There you can recognize the air element. Suppose you are able to recognize that in-breath is cooler, out-breath is warmer. There you are recognizing the heat element. So likewise, once your attention is refined, you are able to recognize all these element characteristics. More and more you recognize these element characteristics, so what else is available? So if you consider this whole physical body, it is nothing but elements. So this is a kind of a deeper insight arising in the mind. So more and more you recognize these element characteristics, you will start to understand there is nothing else but elements. And you can now apply that same knowledge to outside as well. Now in the outside, say another person, if you consider his or her body, that is also nothing but four elements. Similarly, if you consider all other physical world, that is also nothing but four elements. So this is actually a deep insight where you are able to understand and you are able to uncover those four elements. So we have removed the wrapper of conventions, concepts, and we are able to touch the core of the physical aspects, that is nothing but four elements. So this actually gives us sort of an insight. And now we are a little dispassionate about this whole process. Now, Buddha gives us a very beautiful simile in this section, in this Satipatthana Sutta, what you call Dhatu Manasikara. Where Buddha says that there's a butcher who kills cows. While he is killing a cow, he has the perception that I am killing a cow. Now he divide the whole corpse into carcass into small pieces, and now he take it to whatever selling place, and now people are coming and asking flesh, meat, and he is now selling meat. Now he has completely lost the perception of a cow. Now he only has the perception of meat. So Buddha says, similarly, the yogi at the beginning has the perception of a being, a person. But later, as we move forward, that perception going to dilute it, going to get diluted, and ultimately we also have the perception it is nothing but elements. So this is the kind of a radical change happens in the Dhatu Manasikara practice, element meditation. So this is how our wrong perception about a being, about a person, about an individual is going to change to more realistic understanding that this is nothing but elements. It's a kind of a manifestation of elements. Now, more one is able to understand it, more kind of a dispassion arises about this body. You know, typically we give a lot of value to this body, then we consider our body is much important, our body is more beautiful, our body is much handsome when compared with someone else's body. So we may get even conceited because of this kind of an attitude. But when we are looking at this body as merely elements, so such kind of a comparison is becoming very difficult and very much like foolish. Because here also elements and there are also elements. And elements really don't know where they are residing. So it is we that we given various names and various boundaries. But elements don't really know where they exist. Elements don't know whether they are in a female body or male body. Whether they are in a Sinhalese body or English body. Whether they are in a Buddhist body or Muslim's body. They are merely elements. Now we can understand how in a way that we unnecessarily get lost in these conventions. We are even hitting each other, quarreling each other, killing each other, just because that we forgotten these fundamental realities. Rather, we conceptualize the whole thing and introduce so many conventions, names, and ultimately, we are being lost in these conventions. We forgot that basics. We forgot the fundamentals. And we are struggling in mind-made or man-made conventions. And we are killing each other just to protect those man-made conventions. So this is something that we need to think about. And this meditation actually helps us to come back to the bottom, come back to the ground. We'll establish on the fundamentals. Now, once you are well established in this elements meditation, now there is nothing but elements. In this body also elements, in outside bodies also elements. All other physical objects available throughout the physical world is also nothing but elements. Now you are losing the interest, you are losing the conceit, so you are becoming fairly a light-minded person. And this is one aspect. And on the other hand, now you can say, now you can pay attention to the behavior of the elements. These elements are not real particles, but we can say they are sort of energies. Because more you pay attention, you will understand it's a kind of a activity is going on. Earth element is not a particle, but it's a kind of an activity. It is not a noun, it's a verb. So we typically consider everything using nouns. But earth element, water element, air element, heat element, they are not really nouns, but they are verbs, we can say. So they are not particles, but they are waves or energies. Now, if you consider earth element, say for example, hardness has a beginning and quickly disappears. Softness also quickly begins and then disappears. Heaviness quickly begins and then disappears. Lightness quickly begins and then disappears. Roughness quickly begins and then disappears. Softness quickly begins and then disappears. Movement, of course, you can easily understand. Movement has a beginning and then an end. Heat also, say the temperature, heat, also has a beginning and then end. Vibration, obviously, are arising and passing away. So likewise, if you consider the real nature of all these elements, they have their common characteristics. They all have the nature to come and go. They all have nature to arise and pass away. So if one is paying attention very closely to this behavior, so another deep understanding about this whole physical world is possible. Typically, our attention is not penetrative, rather it simply stays in the surface. But rather, this practice, when we are clearly knowing, we will understand these elements are not sort of stable, but they are extremely vulnerable and extremely fragile. They come and go, they come and go very quick. And more you see that, you will understand how transient they are, how impermanent they are. Now, this is the aspect of the second, say, part of this Satipatthana, where first of all you establish mindfulness on elements, you recognize clearly, distinctly these element characteristics, and more you understand it, more you understand that they have some common nature. They have the nature to arise and pass away. They are very impermanent. They are quite transient. And constantly, they are subjected to this arising and passing away. So how can you expect lasting happiness from such kind of a behavior? When constantly things are changing, can you expect some lasting or permanent happiness? It is impossible. Because you never know when they are going to be otherwise, going to be something else. So there you will understand it is impossible to be satisfied using this physical world. In one moment, it may give satisfaction because of inevitable change. It may change otherwise. It may change to a different state. There it may be producing some kind of even a suffering. So there you may understand the suffering nature, unsatisfactory nature. Because of the transience, because of the change, because of the impermanence, inevitably it becomes unsatisfied, unsatisfactory, suffering. Now this complete behavior is out of our control. You can't completely control the behavior of these elements. You never know which element comes to the front, which one becomes predominant. You don't know. And so since it is uncontrollable, ungovernable, that again helps us to understand the non-self feature. So even though we consider this body belongs to me, when we consider very closely, we understand they are all elements, and you can't really control the element's behavior. Of course, you can take certain measures to behavior, change the behavior to some extent, but not complete. So they have their own nature to come and go. They have their own nature to arise and pass away. Now, if you are able to recognize that, more and more dispassion going to arise. Now you are not attached to the body. You are not attached to someone else's body. You are not attached to something else. Whole physical world appear like particles or kind of waves constantly arising and passing away. So this is a kind of a deep insight. If one is able to have, then the whole perspective going to be changed. Typically, we have a kind of a perspective of individuals. This is my mother, this is my father, this is my husband, this is my wife, this is my children, this is my house, this is my car. Likewise, we have given so many names to all this physical world, and we become lost in that. But later, if we are able to look at the whole world in this perspective, then it doesn't appear attractive. It doesn't appear beautiful. It doesn't appear that important. Rather, everywhere what is available is elements. So what is there to hold? What is there to grasp? So you constantly will understand this transient nature, impermanent nature, unsatisfactory nature, and non-governability. Samudhe dhamma anupassīva kāyasmin viharati, vaya dhamma anupassīva kāyasmin viharati. Samudhe vaya dhamma anupassīva kāyasmin viharati. So Buddha very beautifully mentions in this Dhatu Manasikara section as well that you may understand how they are coming and going, how they are rising and passing away. Actually, this understanding can come at any posture. There is no any particular posture that you need to maintain in order to conduct element meditation. But in any posture, you can practice elements meditation. Now, when one is doing like that, so more deeper understanding going to arise that there is nothing called me or mine or an individual, so and so, according to our given names, but kind of element characteristics, element behavior is only available. Attikayotiva panasya sati pachupattita hoti. Such kind of mindfulness is established. Yavadeva jnanamattaya patisati mattaya. Now more and more, you are using this very body to further strengthen that understanding. This is a kind of an eye-opening insight, understanding, and now you are in a motive to enhance it, to strengthen that understanding. So you are using this same body to further enhance that understanding. And that is how you are living now. That is how you are spending the day to further penetrate the body, to further understand the body, to further understand the element's behavior, so that you are slowly able to remove that delusion. Now the individuality has now become sort of material, become simple elements, and fairly your mind become very clear. When we are holding, grasping so many perceptions, various signs, marks, so our mind become very heavy and it is filled, cluttered. But now, when we are able to have a simplified perspective about the whole world, so it is not that heavy. Everywhere, there is nothing but four elements. So likewise, you can have a kind of a clear mind, lighter mind, because of this practice. And again, it is more contributing towards wisdom. First of all, we had kind of a compactness view. This, we consider this as one unit, one thing. But now it is either kind of a particles, millions of particles. More deeply, it is kind of waves, energies. So there is no compactness is possible there. It is nothing but elements. So you may lose the boundary. So when you are even paying attention to the posture, now you can't even perceive a boundary because everything appears like blurred. So as you continue this practice, so such experiences may be possible. And the whole body, whole outside appear like dots, appear like very transient, everything like bursting. So these types of insights, even very deep insights are possible. So more such kind of a dispassion, disenchantment, non-grasping nature of the mind arise. So that wisdom is growing and growing. And at one point it might help to completely leave aside, completely let go of this whole grasping. So at that time, mind probably may not grasp anything in the world. Not only the body, not only the outside physical aspects, but also any other mental aspects mind might not grasp. If you are able to succeed like that, at that moment, mind is completely free. Completely free from any physical aspect, completely free from any mental aspect. You are free from rupakkhanda, that is the elements, material aggregate. Again, if you are able to free from vedanakkhanda, feelings, and the other thoughts, then the mind become completely free. It associates nothing. Anissitocha viharati. So Buddha says anissitocha viharati. That indicates that at that moment, mind is completely free, associating nothing. Nachakinchi loke upadhyati. It does not grasp anything in the world. So such kind of insight is possible. So as you move forward in element meditation, so as you are enhancing the or deepening your wisdom, so such complete freedom might be possible. It may happen momentarily. Even it is difficult to recognize. But again and again when you are practicing, so such insight may appear again and again, going to arise again and again. So you might be able to notice it. You might be able to notice that mind at one moment, release from everything. Not grasping anything, not associating anything. So this kind of experience become so strong, and now you are evident of it. Now you feel it like a jerk. You feel it like a kind of a different change of your domain. And if you are able to continue a practice, now you are able to enhance it to another moment. Now say 1 minute, after some time maybe another 2 minutes, after a couple of days say 10 minutes, after a couple of days maybe 15 minutes. So likewise, one is able to maintain that unbounded, unattached, non-grasping, unholding kind of a mind for a considerable period of time. Now, probably you may understand why you can't maintain such free mind forever. That is because still the mind is conditioned. That is because our mind is still subjected to various defilements. Now you have to find a path in order to completely uproot those defilements, uproot those various hindrances. So that path is nothing but Noble Eightfold Path. So you need to understand, okay, I got to maintain morality. There is a deep benefit you can gain through maintaining morality. And we need to have a clarity of mind in order to recognize various defilements. And in order to have various insights, we have to have a fairly clear mind, so that the concentration, samadhi, is also necessary. And on top of that, we need to further enhance wisdom so that we may not get deluded. So therefore, wisdom is the other aspect. So this sila, samadhi, panya becomes one of the key practice that we need to develop. So the whole Noble Eightfold Path become evident and become sort of necessary in order to continue to have in order to have this freedom forever. So likewise, in this section also, in Dhatu Manasikara, we can understand that first of all, we need to establish mindfulness on elements. Next, we need to understand their behavior so that various insights are possible. And then one has to live a path, a way of life, so that you can completely free yourself and completely uproot all the defilements so that mind is utterly free. So such three stages also can be derived from this Satipatthana section. So with that, I like to conclude today's sutta teaching. Now I open the session for questions.